be a PowerPoint, and first time I've ever done PowerPoint. It's not elaborate, black and white, sorry. One thing I feel bad about is I have all the verses up here for the most part, and so you're not going to be flipping your Bible, and that's one thing I don't like, because there's not a real good way to communicate with them back and forth there, and so on. But bear with me. We'll have the verses up here, and if you want to turn to your Bible to make sure that they're correct, you can feel free to do that as well. But before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is true. It's everlasting. It's something that is reliable, trustworthy. We know that it will never change. And so our confidence can be placed in it because the word comes from you. And Father, I pray that you'd give us a heart to want to reach the lost. You have us here for a reason, and a very specific reason is that we might be the ambassadors, the witnesses that you want us to be. So encourage us, and might we just be thrilled with people who are willing to go, and that this mission conference truly would be a blessing, and as we're blessed, that we might be a blessing to others as well. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, we'll see if we have this thing hooked up properly. This really is a class that I'm using a book by Eventel, Seeds from Sowing to Reaping. What I'm going to be sharing just uses this as a very basic tool. A lot of this is my own stuff, but the aim that they state for this lesson is to understand God's heart has always been and continues to be consumed with a passion to redeem lost people. See, when you get to know God, you get to know his heart. And I think that's the most important thing for us in being used of the Lord, is getting to know him. As we get to know the Lord and understand who he is and what he's done for us, how great things. And his love and his compassion for us and for other lost people, it's going to motivate us to share the word of God. Application, develop a heart for lost people and discover what motivates you to share the gospel. You know, sometimes we have great motivation. We went to Fiji, wanted to share the gospel, and then when we got there, all of a sudden there's some things that take away that motivation. And those people, how can they drive? And look what they're doing and how they act. And man, they bother me. And you lose your motivation if you're not focused on what's right. If you're focused on self, you're going to have a hard time witnessing. But if your focus is on the need of the lost people around you, they're not just so many trees, just so many objects that get in your way that you stumble over. Now, to tie this in to the mission conference, really, gospel is the good news. And evangelize, and you see angel in the middle? Angel is a messenger. So it's to proclaim the message of good news. And so that's the verb form. Evangelist is the proclaimer of the good news, a messenger of good. And W.E. Vine says, missionaries are evangelists, being essentially preachers of the gospel. Or Vincent says in Ephesians 4:11, God gave evangelists, traveling missionaries. And so when we think of evangelism, you can think of missionaries, because every time we go out to share the gospel, we are accomplishing God's mission. Question: why should I share the gospel? Well, these verses are going to be very familiar, but they really bring out the point. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And we understand that the heart of the Apostle Paul was that, what else can I do? It's the most important thing, the most necessary thing for people, and woe is me. There's a great problem in my life if I'm not sharing the gospel. The apostles recognized it, and when they quoted what we know as Acts 4:12, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's a necessity to preach Christ, and there's a necessity for each person to be saved. Christ needed to go through Samaria. There was a woman there that needed the gospel. Paul said that he was a debtor, that he was ready, and that he was not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 4, or 10, 14 through 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's a different word here. It's a herald. Well, a herald of a message doesn't change the message. The herald is very clear on what he presents to be accurate and clear to the message that he was sent out with. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach, who evangelize, announce the good news. We could say the gospel, that's the same word as preach or the good news. It's all the same root word. Who bring glad tidings, gospel of good things. And people need to hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, and it's the only message that can bring salvation, then to withhold that good news from someone is really saying, I don't give a rip where you spend eternity, even if it's in the lake of fire. A verse that's always seems to come up when I'm talking about missions, 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. There's a section in this Eventel program that talks about relationships and building relationships and so on. And I certainly agree that we need to build relationships with people. But sometimes we get too busy making friends with the lost people just for the sake of being friends with them. And we forget that there's a purpose for being part of their lives. And if it's not to share Christ with them, their lives are going to affect us. Sometimes we like to be with the unsaved because, you know, they're a talented sports star, and it makes me look good to know them. Sometimes because they're so cute, they're so handsome, whatever it may be, that we want to be with these people. They have something that we really like, but ultimately it comes down to, if we're with them for the wrong reasons, our lives are going to be corrupted. And then it tells us, wake up. Don't go to sleep. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Most people believe they ought to be involved in evangelism, but the question is why? What should motivate you to share Christ with a lost person? The Apostle Paul, but none of these things move me. And at this time, he'd already been informed that he was going to suffer persecution, trials, chains when he was heading to Jerusalem. Many tried to persuade him not to go, but he said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You know, a lot of us want to finish our course, want to finish our race. Lord, get me out of here. I've been down here too long. I don't like the difficulties I'm facing. I want to go home to be with you. Not to be with you, but just to escape the trials and the pressures we have. The Apostle Paul wanted to finish his course with joy. To finish the race acceptably to the one that sent him, the one he was running for. And in order to do that, he said it was to fulfill that ministry to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And so believers are still here for a purpose. Why does God have you and I still here? Why didn't he just take us straight away to heaven when we got saved? How wonderful that would have been. But as he was praying in John 17, he says, I do not pray that you, Father, should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. He didn't take us out because we have a job to do. We're ambassadors for Christ. He's equipped us. He's empowered us. He said, when the Spirit of God comes, you're going to have power, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So the first motive that's listed in this material is adopt God's heart for the lost. God's heart is not simply for evangelism, it is evangelism. And how do we know that statement's true? Because this is God's will concerning evangelism. It's his desire that we pray for all men, for kings, for those that are in authority. And he prays that we might lead a godly life, peaceable life, in all godliness and honesty. And he tells us that it's his will that all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so we pray. We pray for kings and presidents. We pray for their proper decision-making. Even when we see them not making proper decisions, we pray for them. We pray that they would allow us the freedom to begin to continue to share the gospel with others. But if we're not taking advantage of the freedoms that we have, if we're not utilizing the freedoms we have in this country to share the gospel, to share the good news, to evangelize, why should we expect God to continue to allow us to have the freedoms that we have up to this point? And by the way, politics isn't the answer to our problems. We certainly want to have good politicians, but politics will never save the world. Politics will never save America. As Pastor Atkey would often say, don't spend your life polishing the brass rails on a sinking ship. And our ship is sinking. It's going down. And it appears to be going down quite fast. And so to spend all of our time making this place a prettier place to live in, for what value? Souls need to be saved, and they'll perish if they don't hear the gospel message. And we think, when we think of God's desire for all men to be saved, think how that might fit in with Psalm 37, verse 4, that says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. If you have a desire to witness, a desire for people to be saved, and that matches God's heart, do you think he'll give you opportunities? So the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, I'm sure thankful for the Bible teaching I've had, because I think repentance has to be the most misunderstood word in the English language. The secular definition, if you look it up in a dictionary, in Webster's, probably is going to say, be sorry for your sin. Well, godly sorrow can work repentance, but that's not repentance. I would say a good number of the students in the personal evangelism class have a misconception of repentance. Many of them think it's turning from sin. Boy, wouldn't that be a problem if we needed to turn from our sin in order to be saved? But repentance simply means a change of mind. Yes, there might be a turning from and a turning to, but it's a mental. I used to think I did. I used to think I could get saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. I used to think going to church would help me to get to heaven. I used to think that other people were far worse than me. I used to think that I wasn't such a bad guy until I started seeing what God said in his word, seeing who God was. And I saw that my heart was deceitful, desperately wicked. I saw there was nothing good about me in my flesh. I changed my mind about how I looked, my sin, and how I couldn't take care of my sin myself. All those things I thought might help wouldn't do any good. My righteousness was filthy rags. And I turned to Christ. I turned to him for salvation. That's repentance. So repentance is just being willing to see your need of the Savior, turning to him, trusting him, believing him. And when you believe in Christ, you've done all the repenting you need. God's desire, all men to be saved. Well, if God desires all men to be saved, then how many lost souls did Christ die for? Well, he tasted death for everyone. King James Version, he tasted death for every man. And he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know, we don't have to wonder or pray, do they need to be saved? Can they be saved? We simply share with them what they need to hear, that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, because all are lost apart from him. And if God loves the world of lost sinners and desires them to be saved and provided the way through the death of his son for all to be saved, then are all lost individuals savable? It tells us that there's going to be false teachers among you who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. See, Christ paid the price for them too. In 1 Timothy 4:10, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. He wants to be the Savior. He is the one that provided salvation for all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So how many sins did Christ die for? He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the propitiation, that sacrifice that satisfies. The propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, there's no one too bad to be saved. He didn't die for just an elect few. So what's left to be done? It's finished. It's paid in full. There's no more to do. Because we see that provision for salvation has been made for all people. The purchase price, the blood of Christ, has been supplied for all, but is only applied to those who respond to God's gracious offer by faith. So, nothing new. You've heard this before. But we logically have to think through some of these things as we're talking with individuals. And most of it comes down to having that motive, that we see their lost condition, and that Christ desires them to be saved. When I think of it is finished, paid in full, I think of a man named Vikram. And many of you have heard about Vikram and heard the story before. But Vikram is second from the left. He's about a 4-foot man. Legs are so deformed that he can barely walk. He'd sell peas, dried peas, to people at the bus stand to try to make a living. I met Vikram in the hospital. Vikram had congestive heart failure. He didn't know if he was going to live or die. And As I shared with Vikram, he said, "Vikram, if you were to die, where would you spend eternity?" He said, "Uncle, I hope I'd go to heaven, but I don't know." And so we opened up the Bible and took a look. And I said, "Vikram, do you think God can let sin into heaven?" "I don't think so." We took a look at who God is and how God views sin, that not even one lie can go to heaven. I said, "Vikram, have you lied?" "Too many times to count." "Have you stolen? Have you cheated? Have you done things that break God's law?" He said, "Every day." So I said, "Vikram, can you go to heaven with your sin?" He said, "No." "But what if Christ, the Lamb of God, paid the debt in full for your sin?" Because that's what he's called, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. "All of your sin was laid upon him. He became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in him." Vikram, he said, "It's paid in full." If he paid for the debt of your sin in full, how much more do you need to pay for? And Vikram said, "Uncle, there's no more to pay for." "So then, what does God want you to do?" And so we looked at John 3:16. We looked at many verses that tell, believe. Receive a free gift of eternal life. Vikram got saved in the hospital that day. But how did I meet Vikram? Well, I met Vikram because Vikram lived about 10 miles out of town. I met Vikram through his son on the far right. That's Sonu. I was at a birthday party. Sonu and a few other relatives had the birthday the same month, and we were invited to this birthday party, and so I said, Sonu, he sat down by me, and I said, "You're a young fella, but you know the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that a judgment. Are you ready to face God?" He didn't answer me, but he looked and he listened. And I shared with him a story, a true story that happened in Fiji of a young man who heard the gospel. He was a high school student ready to go into the university. And he said, I like what I hear, and what you're saying sounds true, but..." And you know the story. "I'm going to go on to school. I'm going to get a good education. I'm going to get married. I'm going to get a good job. And then I think I'll think about these things and believe them, but I'm a young man. I'm not going to die anytime soon." That very night, walking home, came to a railroad bridge. Some other fellas there got into a fight. He was knocked off the bridge, hit his head on the cement abutment below, and died. Now, could he have gotten saved between leaving that Bible study and there? Yes, he could have. Could he have gotten saved as he was plummeting to his death below? In that instant, he could have. Don't know. But when he died physically, it was too late. I said, "Sonu, do you know God wants you to know you can have eternal life? He tells us we can know because he gives it as a gift. He loved you so much, he gave his only begotten son for you, that if you believe in him, you'll not perish but have everlasting life." Well, I left Sonu that night not knowing what he was thinking, but he had shared with his cousin. He said, "I think I heard the truth today." And Sonu began coming up to our house, and I was able to share with him for a number of weeks. Probably about the third time he came, Sonu trusted the Lord. Well, that's how I met his father, but how did I meet Sonu? This is Monty and Pinky. Monty and Pinky live in Boma. Boma is a squatter settlement. Discarded corrugated tin nailed on old boards to make a house. Now, Monty and Pinky had a little bit classier house than the rest. All these are built up on piles because the river overflows and nobody else wants to live there. But we had many opportunities to share the gospel with Monty and Pinky. And they were very receptive, but never sure of their salvation. But we had just really enjoyable times. And it was Pinky and Monty, their daughter's birthday, and it was at Pinky and Monty's house that I met Sonu, because they had invited us. But where did I meet Monty and Pinky? Well, on the far left is Seema. Seema's Pinky's niece. And the little girl in the middle, that's Dolly. It was her birthday that day. And the girl on the far right would be Anju, and that's another story. I'd like to tell about Anju someday, but she was our little girl over in Fiji for a number of years. And the trail goes off a little bit different way there, but Seema had attended a Bible study that we held in Botany Kama, the opposite way from where Vikram lived. And Seema had gone out to many different churches. She was searching for truth, and she wasn't finding it. But when she was at the Bible study, she heard the gospel. And Seema got saved. So it was Seema that Sonu had said, I think I heard the truth. And she's the one that encouraged him to come up and see me. But where did I meet Seema? I met Seema at the Kapoor's house. They were basically the first family, apart from Islands Bible Institute, that we met when we were in Fiji. And I won't get into the story. Most of you have heard it already. That's where the father's brother, Mahen's brother, set us up to be out of our apartment so we'd have a Bible study, and he knew that we would be there so he could rob us. Well, we went to the Kapoor's for Kajal's birthday party and for the next 3 nights. And the brother left the area with our money and stuff. But the Kapoor said, would you come back again? Every week, would you come back? We want to hear more of what you're sharing. And Kajal was the first one. Diane had John 3:16 with her picture and gave that to her for her birthday. And Kajal, one night, after she had heard the testimony of another young man, said, if he can know he's going to heaven, I want to know too. Lord, help me to understand. And she was looking at that verse and understood that was for her, for God so loved Kajal. And she got saved. And then gradually, different members of the family came to trust the Lord. But where did I get to meet the Kapoor's family? Well, it wasn't at Lombasa College. It was Connie Miller. Now, when did Connie Miller meet the Kapoor's before I did? Well, she really didn't. But she's the one that had given us the mission magazine that was supposed to go to Philip and Stephanie, that really found it into Diane's hands and mine and convicted us, Lord, perhaps you'd have us to go. And the rest was history. We went to Fiji. And, I'm no theologian. I knew I could share the gospel. I knew I could share the basics of the Christian life and so on, but figured, that's reason enough to go, right? And so we went, and we enjoyed that time. And actually, you can see here that the Millers were over in Fiji, actually twice, right? Yeah. And so, well, where did Connie learn the Word of God from? From her parents, Don and Lorraine, special. Parents, you have such a great responsibility to your kids and to others. To share with them the truths of the Word of God, to live out the Word of God in your lives so you have a right understanding of who God is and why he has you here. It's not about self, it's about him. Well, just going off from Vikram again, we're going forward after we had gotten to know Vikram. Well, actually, this is a little bit before that. In 2009, we were back in Fiji again, and Pinky's mother, Seema's grandmother, died. And it was held at this compound about 10 miles outside of Lombasa, and we went to this funeral. It was a mixture of Roman Catholicism and the Hindu religion together, and it was so sad. People had no hope. They cried and they wailed, and no hope. Absolutely no hope. And that's when Diane had prayed silently, "Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if someday a Bible study could start in this area, at this home?" Well, that's what happened. Vikram, after he trusted the Lord, invited us to come to his house. We came there, had a nice visit, opened the Bible, shared with him. He says, "Can you come back every week and have a Bible study?" And so these are some of the folk that were coming out. There were more at this time. After we weren't able to go there anymore, some of you may know Jeff and Sherry White. Jeff White came, and he'd learned the Fiji Hindi language. He shared. And then it was Mike Ball, and then Lockie Tuwala, a Bible Institute graduate from Samoa who's now living in Fiji. And then as a result of that, a Sunday afternoon meeting had begun with the intent of starting an Indian church. And even though this says Indian church, this is actually inside the Lombasa Bible Church. But these very people are now going out Sundays to hear the word of God, along with about, I think, maybe 10 or so others. I'm not sure the numbers. But see, it starts one by one, and the chain goes on. We have a chain that goes from the Kapoors to Anju and Nileshni and her family, and there's one for Ashfaq and all those that he brought over to our house from there. And you never know what the end result will be as you begin to share Christ. And then we have the privilege of seeing our son Philip and Helene and Callan and Hudson wanting to go out to France. Well, back to reality. God's heart for the lost is seen throughout the Old Testament. It starts at the scene of the crime, when Adam and Eve and the sin in the garden plunged this world into sin and disease and death, destruction. But the promise was made of the seed of the woman that would come and crush the head of the serpent. And throughout the Old Testament, throughout history, it's developing this Savior, who he is, what he's going to do. Genesis 12:3, through Abraham, all the nations of the world would be blessed. We begin to hear about salvation by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Genesis 15:6. Genesis 22, the picture of Christ through Isaac being offered as a substitute, that lamb came in. But Abraham, accounting that God was even able to raise him from the dead. We see in Exodus 12, the Passover, the perfect lamb had to be slain, the blood applied at the doorpost, and the death angel would pass over. Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. Ruth, the Moabitess. Ruth, without hope, without God in this world, shunned from the nation of Israel, not knowing God until she met Naomi and came then to Bethlehem and meets Boaz, who is a near kin through Naomi, is able to redeem and is willing to redeem. Psalm 22, picture of the crucifixion. My God, why have you forsaken me? All my bones are out of joint. They cast their lots from my clothing. They pierced my hands and my feet. I'm a worm and no man, crushed under the weight of our sin. Isaiah 7:14, virgin, bear a son, his name is Emmanuel. Interpreted, God with us. Isaiah 9:6, his name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 53, these verses in Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, and if you would read Isaiah 53, To a person who's not familiar with the Bible, they would think you're reading a New Testament verse, New Testament scriptures, because it so points to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then in the New Testament, Matthew 1, if you consider the genealogy with Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and the grace of God coming through. We have Matthew 28, the Great Commission, telling us, as you're going out into the world, make disciples of all men. They need to be saved, and they need to be trained up in the Word of God. And that's what we do here at Grace and Truth Bible Church. Train up people to be willing to go out into the world to share Christ. Again, Acts 1:8, we are witnesses. 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors. John 3:16 makes it so simple. You know verse 16. Verse 17, Christ didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the crux of the matter is, he that believes in him is not condemned, but he that does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That brings us back to Romans chapter 10, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on him if they haven't heard, if they haven't believed, if they don't know what the message is? Our privilege is to be the ones to share. And so, giving to missions and missionaries is to be our passion, not just to ease our conscience because we ourselves aren't sharing the gospel. I hope the reason you give to missions is because you're fulfilling your role here, and you're so delighted that others are willing to go out and be used of the Lord in a foreign country, you're willing to give. So God's heart is for the lost. Does knowing God's heart motivate you? So in closing, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us. That word compels or constrain not only means to motivate, but it means to hold you in a channel, hold you on two sides of a mountain so you continue to go through that path that you're on, to keep you from going out of bounds. So the love of Christ constrains us, compels us, because we judge thus. That if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. No longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. We've been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. We're to glorify God in our bodies. He has us here for a purpose, to glorify him, to fellowship with him, and to share the good news of the gospel, to evangelize. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be willing to go out and share the good news. And we'd see that it's not just a certain type of person, a certain class of person. All are saved, or all are lost and need to be saved. You love them all. You died for them all. And so, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't pick and choose, that we would ask, open our eyes, that we might see, that we might know who we can have contact with to share the gospel. And, Lord, I pray that the reason we're with lost, whether it's at work, whether it's at recreation, that we'd see a lost soul that needs to be saved, that's on their way to hell, And we'd see as well that we're all full-time missionaries, that our jobs really are our hobby, our avocation. Serving you is our full-time vocation. And so I trust that we would realize these things and that truly we would have a desire for souls to be saved just like you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.